Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord and God is compassionate and merciful. He gives daily bread in miraculous ways to those who complain, kick, and scream about their lot in life, as well as those who do not know how to say thanks for it. Enter the story of the Israelites in the wilderness. Even while they complain and grumble against Moses and Aaron, and Moses calls them out for their true grumbling against God himself, God still gives them what they are seeking. Now, humans are prone to acknowledge what they lack. We're very good at pointing out what we think we need. And we fail mightily to acknowledge the blessings that are right in front of us. Now, interestingly for you and I, we are reading the story of the wilderness feeding. And we know how that generation fared in the end, for we have the entire story. Even though they ate the bread from heaven, God was not pleased with them, says Paul. They failed the test to live by faith. They didn't trust that the Lord would provide for them in all their needs of body and soul. They didn't trust that the Lord God would deliver into their hands the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And for their lack of faith, they died in the wilderness. The generation after them would enter it. And even Moses and Aaron would lose out on entering that land in this earthly life. The Israelites had failed to see the blessing of having a Lord and God who saved them from Egypt, that house of sin and or slavery and death. Contextually, we are only a few weeks from the Passover and the death of the firstborn in Egypt, mere weeks from the crossing of the Red Sea. And here the Israelites are griping about food. If God could change water into blood, sand into gnats, and the like, surely to goodness, he could and would produce food for the people of Israel while in the wilderness. But why do we doubt so much? I think it shows where our focus is. All too often, our focus is on what we think we need and not what our Lord has already provided, then trusting that he will continue to provide what we need. Going further into the story of the Israelites and the blessing that was the bread and the quail, well, a little later, those blessings are called a curse. The Israelites get tired of the diet. They complain later about not having food. And then they turn right back around and say, "We hate this worthless food." You can't have it both ways. Blessings can become curses if you let your sinful flesh hold sway. But there are plenty of other stories in the Bible where we see our Lord granting sustenance, refreshment in the wilderness. The Lord gives bread to the prophet Elijah not once but many times. Elijah, you might recall, was the prophet who was to speak against the atrocities committed by Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel was a follower of the Baals. They were killing the prophets of the Lord God and making Baal the prophet or the idol of choice in the northern kingdom. Elijah the Tishbite was sent by God to give a stern rebuke. He spoke and promised that rain would not fall on the land of Israel because of this wicked idolatry. That famine lasted 3 years and some change, during which time Elijah was commanded to go eastward and hide himself by the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan River. While there, the Lord God had ravens to provide bread and meat in the morning and in the evening. Now, I don't think Elijah really cared that it was the raven, a bird that scavenges, was the one who gave him food. Now, Elijah could have complained about the situation since he was the mouthpiece by which the Lord used to announce this famine. He could have said, Lord, you had me say all these words, and now look at this place. Why am I also under the curse? But Elijah did not. He saw that he was blessed by the Lord to be given sustenance even while the drought took place. He was feasting through the beaks of ravens. The drought served as a way to bring people to repentance. It was God's judgment against Israel's grave sins. But Elijah was spared harsher judgment by God's grace. He could rejoice and be refreshed in the wilderness. This is how Israel was spared from the righteous judgment that came upon Egypt on the Passover. They were told what to do on the night that the angel of death came to Egypt, and they were thus prepared and kept safe by the blood of the Lamb. They were spared because God gave them a way out. Israel could rejoice in that day. A little later in the story of Elijah, he was sent north to the land of Zarephath, probably not too far from where the Canaanite woman from our gospel lesson a few Sundays ago also lived many centuries later. Perhaps maybe that's why she knew God to be gracious and merciful, even to Gentiles. But God said to Elijah that he had actually commanded a widow to feed him there. And interestingly, in that situation, the woman and her son were on their last portions. They had only enough flour and oil to make one more meal. They were to eat it, and then they would die. Now, the woman, the mother, was happy to get the water that Elijah asked for. But the morsel of bread? What would just a little flour and oil do for all of us? She had noted the insignificant amounts of the food that she had. But Elijah calmed her fears. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake. And the woman, out of faith, did so. And the Lord not only gave food to Elijah through the woman, but the flour and the oil did not run out until rain came upon the earth. Elijah, the woman, and the boy could rejoice in the wilderness. And one more story that connects to Elijah, as well as to our Israelites and their plight in the wilderness. The Lord again works to show grace and mercy to people who are no better than a toddler who needs a little food and a nap to calm themselves down from a temper tantrum. Elijah should have been on cloud nine, just like Israel from our Old Testament lesson for today, being so close to a salvific event. The Lord showed himself to be the Lord of all the earth when he brought fire upon the altar at Mount Carmel. But yet, for Elijah, there was a problem. After all of that, Elijah runs away scared because Jezebel is looking to kill him. And he plans to run to Sinai. Along the way, Elijah cries to the Lord that he wants to die, that he's no better than his fathers before him. He went a day's journey and found shade under a broom tree. The Lord blessed Elijah with sleep. That is a blessing. Then an angel of the Lord woke Elijah up and had him eat. Upon eating the first cake and drinking a jar of water, he fell back asleep. Then Elijah was woken up again. Like the times previous, the angel tells him to eat, but then he adds, the journey is too great for you. He ate that food and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, or Sinai, the Mount of God. Friends in Christ Jesus, the journey is too great for you. That Christ preserves and gives daily bread in ways that we would never imagine. Daily bread is not only food and drink, it's much more than that. You can go to Luther's Catechism and ask, where he asks the question, what is daily bread? If you want to go there, go there. If you want to allegorize all of this, the easy comparison is the way our Lord preserves us in the one true faith. The Lord gives food to those who need it. He gives faith without price. He provides us with forgiveness and life as we eat and drink the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He does not live, or man does not live, on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This is how one is sustained and kept along the way in the wilderness. And connecting to last week, the oasis, the divine service, and what is contained within it for us from the Lord is how our hearts are kept clean and pure and swept. Not because we are perfect, but here our Lord is gracious and merciful, granting us his forgiveness. The journey of faith is not one we should go alone, nor can we. But rather, we are to go with the Lord Jesus, who leads us. You see, the Christian life is doomed to fail if we don't see the divine service of our Lord for the blessing that it is. We may not like the lot that we've been given in this life, but the Lord does provide, and often he provides a great abundance, whether we realize it or not. He still showers us with his mercy. The question is do we see it? Or do we have our eyes fixed on the things that we think we lack? In the gospel lesson, it seems that Philip and Andrew both have their minds and eyes on what is lacking. Philip is tested by Jesus here. Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? I'd argue that the proper response in faith would have been, Lord, you know. But Andrew's acknowledgement may be understood as, or something of this nature, Andrew is the one who finds the child, the boy. Yeah, kid, thanks. But how in the heck will this help? You might ask yourself, how will my $30 help the window fund? Or the siding fund, or whatever. It's just a drop in the bucket. But most often, it's at this moment that our Lord provides. And the text even says, he knew what he would do even before he asked the question. The boy, like the widow of Zarephath and the ravens for Elijah, are the means by which our Lord provides. Who knows what the boy was thinking when he offered up the grocery sack to the disciples? But he likely should be thought of as being faithful, trusting that in the hands of Jesus, these 5 loaves and 2 fish can and will be used to magnify the kingdom of God, and blessed be his memory for it. Those 5 loaves and 2 fish in the hands of Jesus satisfy the hunger of all the people there. And even after they eat all that they want, there are still 12 baskets full of leftovers. A little will go a long way in the hands of God. Do not think that your own gifts are too small to matter. Gifts given to the Lord in faith produce an abundance unto the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. We may be in the wilderness of a broken and sinful world, but the Lord Jesus is with us, and he knows what he will do. He will provide exactly what we need in the time that he sees fit. It may not come exactly in the fashion that we expect it to, but we are not called to grumble over what we lack, but we're called to recognize the blessings that we have been given. Do not worry about what may be missing or what you think you need. That's a temptation to covet the life or possessions of someone else. Do not fall into such temptation, for our lack may indeed be turned into a blessing. But know this. The Lord Jesus does and has compassion upon you. The manna is given to Israel out of compassion and love. And even when they are unlovable and ungrateful, they still receive it. The bread and fish are given to people who are only concerned about their bellies, as the later chapter, John chapter 6, details. But the Lord's compassion goes further than that. He's not just concerned about bellies. He's also concerned about your spiritual well-being. He died so that you might live eternally. The journey is too great for you. But Christ goes with you. So be refreshed this day. Rejoice and rest in Christ, who leads you like a shepherd to his holy mountain. He has you lie down in green pastures. He restores your soul. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies, sin, death, and Satan himself. And he anoints your head with oil, and your cup overflows. Eat, drink, and be merry. The Passover of our Lord is soon at hand. Easter will soon be here, and the true feast will begin. But until that glorious day, eat the bread of heaven that comes to you now. Drink of the cup of salvation that the Lord provides here for you, and rejoice and rest in the wilderness. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.